I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For a lot of reasons, it's been a tough week. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's been a tough week, and we could really use a powerful story. Or at least a story that we can relate to, or we can see a character in the Bible who's struggling with this whole faith thing as much as we are. And we have quite a gem this morning. The exchange between Peter and Jesus is a powerful story. And it occurs to me that we have been seeing the character of Peter pop up in our stories in the gospel lessons in church a lot lately. Peter is quite the disciple. He's always strong. He comes off as a little bit brash, very opinionated, but then, given the circumstances of all the scenes, very quickly humbled. He's always speaking up and blurting out the very first thing that comes to mind. That's what he did last week at the story of the Transfiguration. He was blurting out his wonder at the holy scene of Jesus on the top of that mountain, glowing white. He's also later in the story of the Last Supper. He's the one that dramatically declares that Jesus should wash his whole body. When Jesus is going around and washing the disciples' feet, Peter's like, nuh-uh, wash my whole body as a sign of my loyalty to you, Jesus. And then, of course, Peter is the one who denies Jesus after he's arrested. So Peter is both strong and weak. Later, he's called the rock upon which Jesus will build his church. He's remembered in history as a saint, as an apostle. But it seems like Peter is always stumbling into his place of leadership, both sure of himself and unsure. He's unaware of himself, and yet he's bold. He's willing to step out on a limb. He's the guy in the story that's always out there, willing to try this whole faith thing in the best way that he knows how. And this scene on the Sea of Galilee is just no exception. So imagine it. Peter is on a boat with his friends, and all of a sudden a windstorm crops up. They're hanging on for dear life. But being fishermen in this region, they were used to weather like this. So it's not the weather that's the most terrifying thing. They look across the water and they see Jesus walking on the water, looking like a ghost. It's a terrifying vision, and they have no idea what to do. But Peter, and this is so typical Peter's character, he stands up on that rocking boat and he says, Jesus, if that really is you, you command me to walk on that water out there to you, and I will do it. And it's incredible. He does it. He gets out of the boat. He walks on the water right out there to Jesus. He's bold. He's strong. He's this wonderful vision of the faithful Christian for right about like a millisecond. And then he starts to freak out. I'm walking on water. And the fear sinks in, and he starts to sink. Experiences of fear are everywhere in our world. I witnessed one this summer. So I was with my husband hiking, a long, long hike, and the trails that we were hiking took us through a number of sheep pastures. And this is not a common thing in Western North Carolina. This was in Scotland. And I was observing these sheep. They were just so cute. I wanted to take one home with me. Oh my goodness. We had such a good time watching these sheep. They would play. They'd chase each other around. They would bleat at us when we approached. So the soundtrack to our whole hike was like, ah, ah, constantly. And every day we saw more and more sheep, and they would always startle really easily when you came upon them. If you walked into their field, they just sort of spread. And Occasionally, one or two would linger a little longer, but they would really stay pretty clear from us. One day, we were hiking along a road, and there was a sheep pasture right to the next to us that was all enclosed. And it must have been lunchtime because all the sheep were yelling at us as we went by, hoping that maybe we'd come and feed them, just rah, rah. And we were walking along, and we realized one of the sheep had gotten out. And he was walking, actually like trotting along the road ahead of us. And as he was going, he was sort of going, all alone. And we were laughing about it because it seemed as though this poor little sheep had figured out a way to climb out of the pen. And the minute that he did so, he was like, yay, I'm free. I'm scared. And I think this is what was happening in Peter's mind this morning. Because it's such a natural reaction in all of God's creatures the minute that we taste freedom. We think to ourselves, yes, I did it. I put myself out there. I'm free. I'm in charge. Wait, no, I'm not. I'm a little scared. That's how Peter was processing this, because he wants the freedom to follow Jesus. He wants to step out of that boat and be brave and strong. He wants to walk on water. But so quickly, that bravado turns into fear, and it causes him to sink. This is not just Peter's unique problem. I think this happens to all of us at some point. You're doing something new. You're putting yourself out there. You step out of the boat, and the minute that you embrace that freedom, you think, yes, I did it. No, wait, I'm scared. Imagine going to college for the first time. This is going on a lot in our parish. A lot of families are transitioning college graduates or high school graduates to college for the first time. You get into that tiny little box of a room, you set up your bed, you set up your desk, you've got all your stuff together, and then your parents are like, bye, and they shut the door and you're like, yes, I am free. And then you realize you're all alone and you start thinking, I feel a little vulnerable. I'm feeling a little scared. Consider it maybe from the other side of things, too. You're the parents, you know, dropping off that child, that precious child, to college for the first time, and you help them set up their room just right, and you walk through that door, and you close it, and you think, yes, I am free. And then you get in the car to go home, you drive maybe about a block away, and you start thinking of everything bad that could happen to your child in their freshman year. And you think, oh, but I'm scared. Fear always sets in whenever we do anything new, because we don't want things to change. We don't want our lives to change. We don't want to have to forge a new path, navigate a new reality. We don't want to do any of that. We're afraid that we'll lose our footing, like Peter, as we go forward, or worse yet, that the waves will somehow overcome us and we will drown. Jesus responds to Peter's fear with such grace. He reaches out to him, he lifts him up out of the water, and he says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. There are three statements in that exchange with his disciples that I want us to kind of look a little closely at, because I think there are three examples of Jesus' grace and what Jesus has to say to us about our fear. So the first one, he says, take heart. Take heart. In other English translations of the Bible, it's sometimes read as have courage. But I don't think Jesus is speaking to Peter, or speaking to the disciples generally, as just like, buck up, you know, get yourself together. I think he's saying take heart very intentionally here. He's reminding us what fear is doing to your brain, doing to your heart. Fear forces you to step outside of yourself. It makes you forget who you are. Fear deceives. Creates a world in your mind that says you can't trust anyone to take care of you, least of all, God. Fear makes you believe that you are disconnected from everything that you know to be true in the world. And so the message of grace is take heart. Literally, take heart. Remember your own heart, your own identity, whose you are. Remember that whatever fear is telling you, it's not true. Fear can't be believed. It's not who you are. Take heart and recognize that the path that you're on is leading you far from yourself. Second statement, Jesus says to Peter, "It is I." So Jesus is reminding Peter, and I think us, that reassurance of, hey, it's me, you know me, I'm not a ghost walking on the water. It's a reassurance of the scene, but it's also a reminder that Jesus is the familiar friend here. Jesus is the one who knows Peter, knows us, and loves us, and cares for us. We need this reassurance that Jesus is present with us in the middle of the things that scare us. Jesus isn't going to leave us. And we might entertain all kinds of thoughts about, well, is Jesus going to let anything bad happen here? And I think there's some wisdom actually in the Saint Julian of Norwich, who wrote, "God did not say that you would not be troubled, that you would not be labored, you would not be disquieted. But he did say, you will not be overcome." God wants us to pay attention to these words and always be strong in faithful trust, in well-being and in woe, for he loves and delights in us, and so he wishes us to love him, delight in him, and to trust greatly in him, and all will be well. Third statement, Jesus offers this final word of grace to Peter. Do not be afraid. Easier said than done is my initial response to that. I think most of us read that and think, really? That seems kind of hard. But this shows up all over the Bible, where you have scenes of things happening that are holy and mysterious, usually when an angel shows up or when God is doing something big and holy. The echoing voice of God is always saying, do not be afraid. We have a problem embracing fear anytime we face the unknown. And we are encountering right now, and even this past week, all kinds of things in our world that we think are worthy of our fear. And really, y'all, this morning, it's like a laundry list. Disturbing events in our families, the lives of people we love, people we know who are hurting. Changes in our church, chaos in our government, worries about nuclear war, a white supremacist movement that takes over Charlottesville and preaches hate and incites violence. These are real fears, things that terrify us. And we think that all these events are worthy of our fear. And Jesus tells us that they are not. We cannot be outside of the grace of God if we are in Jesus Christ. We can't be. Remember that wisdom from Romans from just a few weeks ago. For I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. Full stop. So if we are in Jesus Christ, what do we have to be afraid of? We must shed the belief that the things that terrify us are worthy of bringing us down. Life means that sometimes we have to walk right into what scares us. But today's comfort is knowing that Jesus is always right there with us, always. And we're also in good company. We are not the first Christians to ever have to do this in history. I was just reading recently that the ordination of women in the Episcopal Church is now about 40 years old. The first women who were ordained were technically ordained irregularly because it wasn't an official policy of the Episcopal Church yet. They're called the Philadelphia 11, There are also four women in DC who were ordained as well, and they paved the way for the future of women's ordination in our church. It was a very brave thing that they did, because this was not just a topic of arbitrary debate. People were angry about this, and these women had received death threats. They didn't even invite their families to come to the service when they were ordained for fear of their lives. There was a bomb threat the morning of their ordination in DC. And one of the women recounted, "I have never felt more danger than when I kneeled to be ordained." What a witness to us in the face of our own fear. These priests were holding on to the grace of Jesus. Jesus, who was right there with them, who was saying to them, "Take heart, it's I. Do not be afraid." There's a lot of grace for us in those sentences. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." How are you being called to step out of your little boat and to do something bold and scary in the name of Jesus? Are you hesitating? Wondering if your steps are going to be supported like Peter's? Do you need to trust the grace that God's got you? Let's carry the reassurances of Jesus with us this week. Let's face our fears at the changes and chances of this fleeting world. Let's put ourselves out there to be brave, to be willing to follow Jesus across the waves, because we know that we will not be overcome. We're being called out of our boats right now, called out of our boats into this life of adventure with Jesus Christ. And so may we be as bold and as brave as Peter, one who was willing to walk to his Lord, trusting that he was right there, that Jesus is always reaching out, calling us, steadying the waves, and waiting to lift us up to himself. Amen.